Whatever happened to mobbing? Instead of fist fighting, niggas is busy blogging. This shit is a problem. Flap a zombie dead walking. Caution, every word I spit, every verb I flip, awesome. I raise a margin, and Pimp C would probably be proud of me, cause I've been banging names since Wayne was saying wobbly wobbly.
Podcast number 2. Hopefully a bit less amateurish than last time. That was Young, Black and Arrogant by Flatbush Zombies, and that's from the album Drugs, and that was self-released, so big up to them. When Drugs came out, I was like, yeah, it's good, but I heard Drugs at roughly the same time that I heard Good Kid, Mad City, and for a while, for me, it just kind of lived under the shadow of Good Kid, but it's still a great album, and I've revisited it recently, and there's some jams on there. So yeah, you've got Young, Black and Arrogant, there's Drama I really like as well, there's a few other tracks. Yeah, so big up Flatbush Zombies. Just so people know, I'm always going to just play clips of songs, and I'm always going to shout out the artist, album and label as well. Just because all I'm trying to do is shout out cool content, you know, I'm not trying to infringe copyright or whatever. Again, send music recommendations for the intro and outro songs to @corkboardpod on Twitter. Music recommendations or anything else you find that's cool, send them to us @corkboardpod. If you're not on Twitter, give us an email @corkboardpodcast@gmail.com. And if we feature something that you've sent, we'll shout you out. Ooh, and there is now a website for the Corkboard Podcast. Please check out corkboardpod.blogspot.com for corkboard-related posts. Going to post episode links up there and direct links to the content discussed in the podcasts wherever possible. All that kind of thing. The website address, again, is corkboardpod.blogspot.com. So the first thing I'm going to do this episode is there's been a whole load of things where I've thought, oh, I'll shout this out, oh, I'll shout that out, but I wouldn't be able to fill 2 or 3 minutes without sort of rambling on, giving you information that you don't need, and that's not kind of what I want this podcast to be about. So I got a very professional sounding sound effect, and I'm going to use this sound effect to my way between a few little things at the start of this episode. UFC 173 that was mentioned last episode was great. It's well worth a watch if you're interested in martial arts at all. We recently had elections for the European Parliament here in the UK, and somehow a party of basically closet racists, UKIP, did well. I'm not going to say too much on the political side of things, but check out a quiz designed by Hannah Jane Parkinson of The Guardian called UKIP or BNP. And it takes a horrible statement said by a UK politician, I use that term loosely, and then asks you to pick whether it was a member of UKIP, who are the UK's sort of closet racist party, or a member of the British National Party, which is kind of like the UK's blatantly racist party. And there's some funny quotes that are genuine quotes by UK, again, to call them politicians is probably a bit much. They like to pretend they're politicians anyway, and I'll link that on the website with all of today's content. I caught a bit of Britain's Got Talent the other day. Funnily enough, my girl had it on. I don't watch TV ever, why would I? It's 2014 and everything's available online. Everything that I'd be interested in seeing anyway. Yeah, props to Britain's Got Talent for putting a guy called Darcy Oak on. That's O-A-K-E. And he's an illusionist magician type guy, and he's amazing. I'll link some of his videos on the website, corkboardpod.blogspot.com. Shit, that was professional. I'm going to move on to some more in-depth content recommendations now, and I've got a couple of double headers to start off with. The first bit of the first double header that I'm going to mention is a website called worldometers.info. Worldometers is an independently run website that collects stats to do with the world and the human population and stuff, and it publishes them in like a real-time news ticker kind of format, which is cool. It's run by an independent team of researchers and developers, and it's a great place to go to have your mind blown. For instance, here sitting looking at the births this year stat, and it's just over 59.5 million. And the deaths this year stat only reads 24.5 million. Hope that sorts itself out in time. There's really quite a few of us already. Gotta slow that birth rate. One of the stats that stood out to me when I was writing this sort of writing notes on this piece was the end of oil stat. Worldometers thinks we've got just over 14,400 days until the end of oil. And I think we all know, we've been told for quite a while now that the oil is going to run out and that it's going to be bad for us unless we change the way that we live. But to have it put in a number sort of really brings it home. I did the maths earlier and 14,400 days is like 39.5 years. So we've got 39.5 years to have changed quite a few aspects of our basic daily lives when you stop and think about it. And realistically, of course, it's got to happen a lot sooner than 39.5 years. Yeah, there must be like 50 stats on worldometers.info and they all tick along at their varying speeds and they're on a variety of different subjects. Some of these stats are for good things, like the undernourished people in the world stat is dropping slowly, but most of them are for bad things and it makes for a pretty grim reading, really. But there are people trying to come up with solutions to the problems that things like worldometers.info highlights in such a cool way. And that kind of leads us to part two of this first little doubleheader. So check out Worldometers. World, O-M-E-T-E-R-S, worldometers.info. And yeah, it's a cool and interesting website. And from a cool website to a cool documentary. So the second part of this doubleheader is a documentary called Paradise or Oblivion by the Venus Project. I watched that again after talking about it with my boy Tom, so shout out to Tom. The Venus Project is a group of people calling for change to the socio-economic system, I guess, of the world. But they also show ideas of how we could change stuff now with current technology, not like waiting for any new piece of technology or waiting for things to become cost effective or whatever. And the latest documentary is called Paradise or Oblivion, and it shows how we can incorporate a new way of living that is perhaps better suited for our age. It opens up with kinda the figurehead of the Venus Project, Jacques Fresco, who's this crazy, brilliant 90-something-year-old inventor who talks about living through the 1929 Depression and realizing early on that the rules of the game that we were playing by were obsolete, and he sort of surmised that the best way to change things would be to change the culture from the top down rather than trying to change things from the individual level up. It then goes on to talk about how the biggest problem that we face is scarcity, and how most conflict is over scarcity of something or another, whatever resource it may be. It then goes briefly into how war and design obsolescence are pretty big things in our current economic system. They're kind of needed for the system to keep going. Design obsolescence, for those who don't know, is when a lot of companies design a product, they design it so that it breaks just after the warranty expires, so that you pay for a new product and the companies just take all of these minerals out of the ground to make more products, and then the numbers on worldometers.info keep going up. There's cool little quotes dropped into Paradise or Oblivion all the way through when they just kind of come up on a black background. And one of my favourites of these is an Einstein quote that they use, and that comes on about halfway through, and it is, "You can't solve a problem with the same thinking that was used to create it." And I think that's kind of at the heart of Jacques Fresco and the Venus Project's beliefs. The video then shows a few ways in which the Venus Project say we could use our current technology to stand us as a species in much better stead for the future. really, most of the Venus Project ideas are just things that should have happened a long time ago that we just haven't. Just basic things like having a somewhere near accurate count of the resources that each country has and doing more than kind of paying lip service to recycling. But because we haven't really done these things before, they seem like sort of Herculean tasks to us now, I think. You know, for instance, creating an inventory of all the resources that we have. People would say, nah, you couldn't do that. It's just too big of an operation. But, you know, it's just counting shit. I'm sure we could work it out. We've invented a lot of things. I'm sure we can, we could get a decent inventory of what resources each country actually has without too much trouble. But anyway, then Paradise or Oblivion goes on to talk about what they call a resource-based economy and how that would affect the way that we live. Then you're taken through amazing imagery of what a newly built resource-based economy city would look like. And there's several different sort of city designs, and some of them even float. It's pretty wild, really. And it all looks a bit sort of utopian to me. But hey, surely at this stage, when the planet could well be endangered by our current way of life, why can't we give something new a shot rather than just trying to sort of tinker around the edges kind of thing? Regardless of whether you think it's sort of it's cool or it's just idealism, Paradise or Oblivion by the Venus Project is definitely worth watching. And you can catch it on YouTube from the Venus Project's YouTube account, which is just called The Venus Project, or from paradiseoroblivion.com. So the second little doubleheader of cool stuff that I've got to shout out this episode starts with a video game. A game called Watch Dogs has just been released by Ubisoft, and I played it on PS4. It's an open world style game with main story missions and a whole load of side missions. And it's the kind of thing we've become sort of used to in this particular genre. From the couple of hours that I played, it's a good solid game. So like a lot of these types of game, you play a white man, unkempt, with a husky American accent, and he has to seek revenge. And this time, the thing that helps this one man out against a whole load of baddies is a mobile phone loaded with hacking technology. Via this mobile phone, you can do all sorts of things, like change the colours of lights at intersections so that this car crashes, hack into CCTV so you can see around corners, hack into cars so that they'll automatically unlock for you, hack into electric boxes and stuff to make them blow up and kill the baddies, all sorts. So yeah, without spoiling too much, the good things about Watch Dogs that I thought, there's lots of opportunities to use the mobile phone to hack into things. There's loads of options for creating imaginative kills and getaways. It's graphically impressive. When you're playing missions, something that I particularly liked was the sense of urgency, and you really feel the need to stay hidden and sort of think strategically. It feels great in missions, and the combat system's not bad, but it's really unfortunate that for me, the major flaw in the game is so easily spotted. The driving aspect in the game is pretty awful, to be honest. Really, like, last gen. And any vehicle that you get in feels like it weighs nothing. They just kind of like slide all over the road. And I wasn't keen on the way that the camera works when you drive, and the damage modelling and the collisions aren't great. And it's a shame because apart from that, Watch Dogs is excellent. The driving component really felt to me like a bad version of Driver 3. Could have been Ubisoft, come to think of it, the Driver series. I don't know. On foot, it feels like a great new current-gen game. And in vehicles, it feels, yeah, like Driver 3. It feels like a title that came out probably about 10 years ago now. Yeah, it's a real shame, and Watch Dogs would probably be up there with my favourite games if it wasn't for the driving. It really is great apart from that. It's definitely worth checking out, apart from the sort of the driving bits, and it's still worth playing in spite of the driving bits. It's on absolutely everything. The old PlayStation and Xbox, the new PlayStation and Xbox, the PC, the newest Nintendo. It appears like the concept of the game being able to hack all of this stuff from car alarms to traffic lights is really far-fetched, but it's actually a lot less unrealistic than you'd expect. It certainly was than I'd expect. And that kind of leads me on to part two of this second little doubleheader of content. So, yeah, play Watch Dogs on whatever you can. As long as you're not in a car, it's great. Part two of this second doubleheader of cool content that I'm going to shout out is a series that Motherboard have just started to produce at the time of recording. And yes, Motherboard's another version of Vice, and I shouted out Vice News last time, but I don't care, Vice are awesome. If you want more variety, send cool content to @CorkboardPod on Twitter. I might try and do a terrible plug once an episode. Anyway, Motherboard's new series is called Freaked Out, spelt with a PH, because they're so cutting edge and cool. And they say that this series is inspired by Watch Dogs. And what it is it shows different sort of real-world technology systems that can be remotely hacked, like your guy can in Watch Dogs. They've only released two episodes of Freaked Out at the time of recording, but yeah, the first one is called Unlocking LA's Traffic Grid. And it's about the alleged hacking of the computer system that runs the traffic light system in California and how people supposedly hacked into the lights at only four intersections and managed to disrupt hundreds of thousands of people's day and create like huge tailbacks. The second episode of Freaked Out is called How to Hack a Car, and in it they explain how these days everything that a car does is controlled by like a central computer system. And how, for example, say, pressing the throttle doesn't inject more fuel into the engine and whatnot on a modern car. Pressing the throttle tells the computer system that you want to go faster, and then the computer system takes the appropriate action for that, which is obviously to inject more fuel into the engine and create more little explosions inside the engine to propel the car along faster or whatever. I'm not an expert. So a security expert called Matthew Soynick, sorry if I butcher your name, gives a demonstration where he hacks a car that he's already reverse engineered, and he does so wirelessly. Him, Matthew Soynick, and the presenter Xavier Aronson are in a car park in a normal car, just an ordinary sort of sedan style car, and they're going around a car park and they start going up a ramp, and then Soynick, from a laptop that he has just sitting on his knee, shuts down the engine of this car. And Xavier Aronson is sitting in the driver's seat and he can't do anything as this car rolls backwards back down the ramp in this car park. And in both episodes they have various sort of security people come on and talk about how it is possible to do all of this stuff, whether it's hacking a car or the supposed hacking of the traffic light system in California. They talk about how it is extremely possible and what could happen if someone really malicious got a hold of this technology. The security experts seem really concerned about this kind of thing, and they don't seem to think that it's that far out of the realms of possibility, and that there could be, unfortunately, some sort of attacks on either individuals or a lot of people in the years to come involving hacking in some way. Yeah, both episodes of Freaked Out released so far are really cool, and I hope that series keeps going. That's Freaked Out, spelled PH. And Watch Dogs is well worth playing as well. You can catch the Freaked Out series of videos on Motherboard's YouTube channel, just called Motherboard, or on motherboard.tv. So the next thing that I'm going to shout out is one of the main reasons that this podcast even exists, and it's a couple of recent episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience. I know a solid 95% of people who listen to this know the Joe Rogan Experience, but for those who don't, really quickly, Joe Rogan is a UFC commentator, the Ultimate Fighting Championship commentator, and a stand-up comedian who also does one of the most popular podcasts on the internet. And his podcast recently, at the time of recording, just went over 500 episodes. Joe does like an interview-style podcast, but most of the people that he interviews are his friends anyway, so it's rare that it's sort of too formal. He interviews a wide variety of people from various different walks of life. His comedian friends, martial artists, various types of scientists, a really varied group of people. And Joe Rogan Experience episodes are usually between 2 and 3 hours long. But whilst I don't agree with Joe like 100% of the time, he has absolutely changed my life and the life of others, including his guests, through the podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. And since he's recently gone over 500 episodes, I thought I would shout out a couple of episodes that have been on recently that are pretty cool. The first one that I want to shout out is Joe Rogan Experience number 497, which was with a guy called Tim Kennedy, who is an elite special forces-y military kind of guy from the US, who's also a UFC mixed martial arts fighter. Tim Kennedy really comes across as someone who's seen some shit in his life, be it in martial arts capacity or in Afghanistan or Iraq. They talk about how Kennedy entered the military, stuff about MMA, hunting, how Tim Kennedy copes with war and sort of the things that he's seen. They talk about steroids and drugs, all sorts. Out of 500 and something episodes, that might scrape into my top 20, Joe Rogan Experience number 497. And another episode that I want to shout out is episode number 501 with a guy called Randall Carlson. Randall Carlson is an ancient history and geology expert. Well, he's an expert in a lot of other fields too, but I'd describe most of what he talks about with Joe on this particular episode to be ancient history and geology. They talk about stuff like asteroid strikes, how there's been different cycles of global warming and cooling throughout time, and what sort of effect that's had on the human population throughout the millennia. How you can tell by the layers of rock through the earth what was happening with the climate at whatever time you happen to be looking at. They talk about dinosaurs and Atlantis, all sorts of crazy stuff. And I think one of the things that I liked was that the subject that Randall Carlson's into, stuff I'm sort of interested at a distance about. Like, oh, that's cool, but I don't know too much about it. But the way that Randall Carlson talks about the things that he's into, he's a really interesting guy to listen to. And I thought it was a great podcast, and I hope that Randall Carlson comes onto the Joe Rogan Experience again. It was a really, really entertaining, interesting, informative podcast. That again is Joe Rogan Experience 501 with Randall Carlson. And the first one that I shouted out was Joe Rogan Experience 497, which is with Tim Kennedy. And you can catch them on the Joe Rogan Experience YouTube channel, which is Powerful JRE. All one word, Powerful JRE. Or on Joe's website, which is joerogan.net. Another recommendation of cool content comes courtesy of my boy Mikey, who you might hear more of in podcasts to come. We've got a little project that might come together. Let's just leave it at that. And he told me to check out a documentary that's on BBC's iPlayer at the minute in the UK. I don't think the iPlayer works abroad, unfortunately. And things on the iPlayer only stay on the iPlayer for like 2 minutes anyway. It's like a month or something. But right now I can link people to an official provider in the BBC. So here's my chance to talk about this particular documentary. The documentary is called Searching for Sugar Man. And it's directed by Malik Benjalul. He recently committed suicide, unfortunately, in May 2014. It's sad how it seems like the people who can create the most beautiful and intricate things are often the same people who are best at creating the most inescapable nightmares inside their own heads. And yeah, it's sad. But I'm not sure that Mr. Benjalul would want us to remember his creation in a sad way to do with his own death. So, Searching for Sugar Man is about a guy called Sixto Rodriguez. Sixto? Sixto? I don't know how they pronounce that in Spanish. Again, I'm sorry for butchering your name, Mr. Rodriguez. Who just went by Rodriguez as his stage name. And he was a musician in the late 60s and 70s. And he came out of Detroit, and he mostly wrote songs about the poverty in Detroit at that time, and how he felt like the common man was being walked all over by sort of big business and politics. And he brought out a couple of albums, but they didn't sell particularly well in America, so he basically stopped making music, and that was it. But unbeknownst to him, people in the 1980s apartheid era of South Africa got a hold of his music somehow, and he became very successful in South Africa. So in the 90s, people started to track this Rodriguez guy from the 60s and 70s, this musician, to let him know what a success he was in another part of the world. And Searching for Sugar Man interviews a couple of his fans and shows their story of trying to track him down and searching through all sorts of myths that had developed up about him. This strange sort of mysterious guy called Rodriguez. It's a really interesting documentary. Again, something that I thought, oh, that sounds kind of cool, before I watched it. And it's really cool. It's an entertaining documentary, and you should definitely check it out. I wasn't exactly sure that the topic was going to be my sort of thing. But yeah, it's cool. So thanks very much to Mikey for the content recommendation. And you can find Searching for Sugar Man on the BBC iPlayer right now. I'll link to the iPlayer version, but it'll disappear very soon. So if you're listening to this in the future, you might need to do a little bit of Googling. But the content again is Searching for Sugar Man, and that was directed by Malik Benjalul. The last thing that I'm going to shout out this episode is another TED Talk, and I think I'm going to start shouting out a TED Talk or something similar at the end of each episode. Look at that, there's a formula coming together, there's some things. You thought I was finished with that. At the beginning, and there's some talk recommendation of some sort at the end. Hey, it's coming together. Just because I didn't explain last episode when I shouted a TED Talk out. TED are a group that organise conferences where they get a lot of speakers in to do short, sort of 20-minute-ish talks each. Their name, TED, stands for Technology, Entertainment and Design, which gives you a good idea of what most of the talks are loosely based around. And yeah, this is just one of my favourites, and I thought I would shout it out. The talk that I'm going to shout out is Stephen Johnson's TED Talk from 2010 called Where Good Ideas Come From. He crams a fair few topics into his 18 minutes, and the whole thing's absolutely worth a watch. He talks about his research into the environments that good ideas usually come from, and how they're not always the sort of clinical laboratory settings that we might imagine. Another thing that I thought that was cool, he talks about how he found that good ideas aren't usually massive ones, but they usually are a whole load of little ones that come together to solve a new problem. And talking about this, he gave the example of baby incubators in Africa. So our lovely Western baby incubators are great, but what happens after they break down in Africa? And there's none of our lovely Western incubator parts over there to fix it. So we give these countries in Africa things like this, baby incubators in aid to try and help with the child mortality rate. And then they break a couple of years down the line or whenever, and they can't be fixed very easily. So a team looked at this problem and invented a baby incubator made from something that they have a lot of in Africa, which is old car parts. So if something breaks into it, in this baby incubator, they can just swap, say, an old headlight turned light for a baby for a new headlight turned light for a baby or whatever. And he then talks about how people are unreliable, scientists are unreliable on their reporting of where they say they have good ideas. How people will say they were thinking hard, alone in the lab, one night with the lights off, and then bang, the idea just comes to them. But that doesn't actually seem to be the case very often, according to Stephen Johnson's research. His research seems to have kind of revealed to him that the best way to make ideas better is to connect them with the ideas of others. And he gives an example of this with the Sputnik satellite sent up by the Russians early on in the space race, and how a group of American engineers sort of stumbled upon the invention of GPS by tracking Sputnik. Anyway, I don't want to go into too much depth. Watch the talk. It's by a great guy far more intelligent than me. The TED Talk, again, is called Where Good Ideas Come From, and it's by Stephen Johnson. And yeah, it's great. Check it out. You can catch it on YouTube, on TED's YouTube channel, just TED. Or you can catch it on TED.com. And that's it for this episode. This episode, you've had recommended an article with a funny little game, a magician / illusionist type guy, a documentary, a video game, a little internet series, a couple of podcasts, and a TED Talk. Jesus, that's a lot of things. There's got to be something in there that you're at least kind of interested in. Check the website, corkboardpod.blogspot.com, for links to all the content discussed today, and tweet us at corkboardpod with cool content that you find, and yeah, it might make it onto the next episode. Email us on corkboardpodcast@gmail.com if you're not a Twitterer. I am releasing this a little later than I anticipated. It's a busy time for me. I'm moving and all the rest of it. But I'm going to try and get one of these out every 2 weeks, at least for now. Thank you for bearing with this travesty of a podcast in its early days, but it will continue to get better. I've only played hip-hop so far, so I'm going to throw a different genre out there into the mix and play out with Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love, from the album Zeppelin 2 on Atlantic, because Zeppelin are important. Thanks again for listening, and tweet cool shit you find to @CorkboardPod. Peace.